Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Minnesota does not have a foul to give. 1 minute remaining in regulation. Morant off the bounce. Oh! Dunks to tie the game at 108.
It's our next guest. Calling John, not John Morant. That would be cool. But it is Eric Hasseltine. Who's calling that? The voice of the Memphis Grizzlies is joining us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Eric, thanks for taking time out today. We appreciate it.
Happy to do it, but I hate to correct you, but that was from our TV broadcast. So that's Pete Branica, who actually is from the Chicago area. So I'm happy to give him the credit on that one because it was a heck of a call from our TV guys. But yeah, man, it's great. It's great to be here. I appreciate you guys calling.
Well, that's what Saturday Suckage is all about. That's our show. We suck so you don't have
to. Don't worry about it.
We
stop.
Suck so nobody else has to. So,
hey, man, I've been there. Don't worry about it.
The Grizz come into town tonight. Bulls and Grizzlies at 6:45 with on this station with the Chuck Swirsky's pregame show and the tip-off. And the Grizzlies seem to be the same kind of surprise, happy, electric story that the Bulls are, sort of the Bulls of the West. So for our fans who are all focused on the East and the evil teams like the Nets and Sixers and Heat, share with us, give us a scouting report on Ja and the guys.
They're fun. It's a fun team. And honestly, we were here in the preseason, and I was talking with Chuck and with my good friend Bill Wennington, not the name drop, but one of my favorite duos in the league. Me and Billy have had some good times, and just you guys have a great crew there. But we actually were courtside in one of the few arenas here and asked Zach LaVine what he thought of his new teammates, and he said, "I got some dogs now. We're going to be really good." And I watched that preseason game and thought the same thing. When I watched our guys compete with them, I knew we had a chance to be pretty good too. They play fast. They share the basketball. They're based on attacking the interior. They're the number one team in the league in scoring points in the paint. They're the number one rebounding team. Steven Adams, where a lot of people thought that move was a step back, was really a step forward because he just rebounds and defends and opens things up for Ja. And Morant has been sensational. I mean, a well-deserved starting bid. There were some that thought he shouldn't, and that those are people that obviously haven't watched much of the Grizzlies this year, which happens. We're in a smaller market. I get that. But he has been everything is advertised and better and has really put in the work and the effort to take his game to the next level. You know, we talk about guys that clearly, you know, understand where they can go and know that it's on them to take that uptick, and he's done that. Now, he doesn't do it by himself. They played really well when he had a little bit of a knee sprain right before Thanksgiving. They went on to win 9 of the next 10 games, and we were all thinking, okay, we got to survive this stretch without him and try to hover where they prospered. And they prospered because it's an incredibly unselfish group, including Ja himself. And leading by example has helped. They've got a great bench. Tyus Jones, who was in Minnesota, is one of the better backup point guards in the league, in my opinion. He really controls the game when he comes in, doesn't turn the ball over a lot. Jaren Jackson Jr. is back to being healthy in his fourth season. He, you know, came back at the end of last season and never really got into a great rhythm after injuring his knee in the bubble. And then you just add, you know, other complementary pieces, and you got to give a lot of credit to the front office, Zach Kleiman, who actually is from the Chicago area as well, has stepped into the general manager's role and done a tremendous job, and has had the wherewithal to say, hey, I know enough to know I don't know everything. So brought in great people on the analytics side and the basketball side. Brought in Tayshaun Prince, who is just really, really astute at watching guys and seeing who fits what you want to do. Not necessarily who can play, because all the guys in the league can play. Do they fit the system they're in? And so it's been a lot of fun. Third place in the West for this group right now. They really feel like they have a chance to move up to the two spot, where they're right behind Golden State right now, and have one more matchup with them. And they've beaten the best teams in the NBA, and they've beaten them on their home floors. I mean, other than Philadelphia, who they beat in Memphis and had a game right down to the wire where Joel Embiid did not play, but they've beaten Golden State in San Francisco. They've beaten Phoenix in Phoenix on the second night of a back-to-back nonetheless. So they're fun to watch, man. I'm really excited for this game. It's a little scary to me because the Grizzlies did not, you know, find their rhythm in their last game against Minnesota on Thursday night, and you don't want to come out of the break and lose two in a row, and that's certainly in play when you play the Bulls on their home floor. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun tonight.
Eric, talking about Ja Morant, and I know a lot of people, I mean, the diehard fans of the NBA certainly are well aware of him. He's one of the more electric young players in the league. But small college, you mentioned, small market team with Memphis. But he's really elevating, you know, the profile of not only the Grizzlies and certainly himself, but he is one of the brightest stars in the league. It kind of reminds me of when, and not that Chicago is a small market by any means, but when, you know, the Bulls drafted Derrick Rose, it's like, all right, build around this guy. It reminds me of a very similar, you can go places with Ja Morant.
Yeah, you can. And Derrick, obviously, having spent a season with the University of Memphis, we're very familiar with him. And it was just a tremendous start to his career here. And unfortunately, you know, some injuries changed the complexion of what he was going to do. You know, he became the youngest MVP. And a lot of people think that, you know, despite the amazing season Joel Embiid's having, there's still a stretch run here. DeMar's in that conversation for MVP, and Ja Morant and Steph Curry, I believe, are in that conversation. It's a telltale story of almost the entire roster, other than Jaren Jackson, who was kind of anointed having a father that played in the NBA and being, you know, bigger, faster, stronger than kids he played with all his life. All these other guys on this roster, at one point or another in their life, have been overlooked, whether it be going to college, whether it be in the draft, whether it be, you know, where they were recruited to. They've all had that chip on their shoulder. And so that's kind of the way they play. And Ja is the leader of that. You know, he wasn't a highly recruited high school player. He played on an AAU team with Zion Williamson. And obviously we knew who's going to get the attention there back in South Carolina in those days. And they found him from Murray State in a secondary gym at a high school, you know, summer camp where he wasn't even asked to play in the main game. And the assistant coach, as the story's been told, goes to the secondary gym to watch somebody else, and they see this kid just killing people and just elevating over people and blowing by them with his speed. And he calls the head coach. He said, hey, you told me I have the right to sign anybody when I really believe that they can help us, right? He goes, yeah. He goes, all right, we're signing this kid Ja Morant today. Like, I'm offering him right now. There's no question. He goes, okay. And they got him there, and 2 years later, he's the number two pick. So he plays with that edge. He plays with that chip on his shoulder. You know, this young team's caught a little flack at times because they like to talk. But to me, they're more talking to each other than trying to embarrass other teams. But they'll keep coming at you, and they play with that veteran swagger. So he's fun to watch, and he's a special talent, to say the least. But it's not just him. Like, he's very unselfish. He's got a great shooter on the wing in Desmond Bane. And so this is a collective effort, and that's why I really enjoy watching this team play. And I think when people get a taste of seeing them in the playoffs, they'll start becoming more and more popular as well.
We're talking with Eric Hasseltine. He is the radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. It's Bulls and Grizz tonight at the United Center. Chuck Swirsky's pregame show at 6:45, tip-off at 7. So the interesting part, one of the interesting things, is the way the Grizzlies performed without Ja, which some people could use and say, well, how valuable could he be if they won 9 of 10 without him? And if you step away from the MVP argument, that stretch when they win is what we're seeing the Bulls go through now, where you see players put in different positions because of all the injuries the Bulls have had and all the setbacks they've had. And now you have Io and Kobe, and you have a bunch of guys starting who were part of what was a deep bench. And you have guys getting valuable experience. It's not playoff experience, but you're getting different situations. So I imagine you see the Grizzlies as being far more flexible and far more, that experience got ratcheted up a lot more than maybe the coaches or personnel people expected.
Yeah, that's a great point, because they've had guys have to step in. They're still playing without Dylan Brooks, who is their best perimeter defender, and they expect him back in a week or so, hopefully, maybe two. But, you know, he had the injury to start the season, then went through health and safety protocols, and in every game he played, he was double figures, and in over half, he was over 20 points. And the only game he didn't get double figures, he comes back after a health and safety protocol, and on a drive, you know, a full court drive, he steps on somebody's foot, rolls his ankle, and he's been out ever since. It's been a couple of months. So the whole time during All-Star break, we're all thinking, wait till they finally have their projected starting five, which has played together a grand total of eight games. Very similar to Chicago, like you said. And you look at where Io is, who I love. And I was shocked he fell in the draft that way. And I was telling some of the Bulls personnel the first time we saw them in the preseason, I walked next to Io and I went, my God, this guy's way bigger than I ever thought he was at Illinois. And so it's guys like that that are, you know, the Grizzlies version of that, Zaire Williams, who was their first-round draft pick, who's now been thrust into a starting rotation spot. John Conchar, who was a, you know, great player for Fort Wayne University, just stat machine, doesn't get drafted, but finds a home in Memphis and does all the little things that you need guys to do. He's like our Alex Caruso. There's a lot of similarities to these two rosters in terms of where guys fill roles. Now, the difference is you have some more veteran leadership there with Vucevic and DeRozan and Levine having done this before. So, yeah, the next man up thing has really proven to benefit the Grizzlies. They're unselfish all the way around. They don't have guys that are not getting their minutes now complaining about things and saying, where are my touches? Where's my time on the court? They've got guys saying, hey, we'll be here when you need us. We love this group. And, you know, I've been doing this 21 years and you know, not as long as Chuck, but been around the league, and I've never seen a team that is as unified that I've had the pleasure to call games for as this group. They genuinely are, to a man, just they enjoy being around one another, which comes out on the court. And, you know, I think we would all agree that there are plenty of times where you have a group of talented players, but they don't always get away. Maybe you see the situation in Brooklyn and Philadelphia, and you can see what I'm talking about. That's not what it is here. And that was why when we talked to Zach LaVine before the preseason game, and I went, okay, Zach's down with this. This is going to be good for them because he can go. And you got a guy in DeMar DeRozan that wants an opportunity to win with Vucevic. This is going to be a really good group. So that's a big part of it. So you got to give you know, front offices a lot of credit for putting guys together that are high character guys and building a culture of winning. It's not just being able to make shots and get to the rim. It's being able to understand the day in, day out grind of the league and be happy where you're at. And you know, that's where what the Grizzlies have done. So it's been a lot of fun to watch, to say the least. And by the way, why is Chuck Swirsky only doing a 15-minute pregame show? Come on. This guy's got more in the tank than that. Let's get serious here.
But he dances after victories. We're gonna get him a white suit. It's Saturday night, so we're going to get him a white suit. And
yeah, we're going to have to talk to him about his dance moves. I got a few steps he needs to learn, and I'm not the one to teach him, but I think that might be his Christmas present or dance lessons.
There you go.
Yeah, and Eric, I got to imagine, too, because much like the Bulls, you know, very similar record, Memphis 21 games over 500 right now and playing lights out, as you said, and playing well, albeit you mentioned the last game that they lost. I can't, you know, there's not a lot of talk around NBA circles or around NBA media about the Grizzlies as a playoff, you know, that they're going to advance far in the playoffs, that they're a title contender, et cetera. We're hearing the same stuff about the Bulls. You hear all about Philly. You hear about the Bucks. You hear about the Nets, despite all their struggles. But nobody wants to talk about the Bulls. I got to imagine that's bothersome to you as a Memphis Grizzly broadcaster as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't say bothersome. I kind of chuckle at it because I'm like, if you watch the way this team plays, this is not a fluke what they're doing. They're one of the only teams, and you know, take your pick of the analytics. If we use the Hollinger stats or the league's analytics stats, they're in the top 10 in offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency, and pace of play. I mean, they move up and down the floor. This is not a fluke. This is not you know, I was in Memphis where I wouldn't say it was a fluke, but, you know, Mike Fratello teams weren't as great defensively as people thought. They were great teams, and Mike's a great coach. I'm not trying to disparage a guy who won 600 games in his NBA career, but they were a slow it down. We're going to work the shot clock to get our best shot, which in turn slows down the game completely and kind of gets people to get out of their rhythm. This team goes, and they go, and then they're going to try to establish the tempo. Now, why people say that, I get. They don't have a lot of playoff experience on the roster. They did go last year and upset Golden State in the final game of the play-in tournament after beating San Antonio in the first game. And then won the first game against Utah, who didn't have Donovan Mitchell. And subsequently, guys took four butt kickings. They really did. The Jazz controlled those games, every one of them. But it was a valuable lesson on what you need to do, and it was a valuable lesson for the coaching staff. And they admittedly said, hey, maybe we tried to play too many guys. We need to shorten the rotation. But that experience was huge for them. And, you know, they've beaten Utah. They've beaten multiple times. They've beaten Phoenix on their home floor. They've beaten Golden State multiple times. They can compete with these teams. And, you know, you tell these guys they can't do something with this group, and they're going, all right, watch us. And that's the crazy thing. You know, look, Chicago is an amazing city. Guys that play here, I'm sure, love it. There's so much to do, and there's so many things going on. That's not Memphis. Yet these guys have come to Memphis and said, hey, I hope you guys like this in Memphis, because we're going to be here for a while, and we're going to keep this group together, and we're going to make this run something special. And you don't hear that a lot on smaller market teams. You know, we've seen Anthony Davis get out of New Orleans. We've seen other players that were in smaller markets, Kevin Durant, go from Oklahoma City to Golden State and decide, hey, I'm going to go over there where I can definitely win. They believe they can do it with this group. And so to me, I've always kind of taken the motto of, if you know, and anybody that thinks the Bulls can't do it is crazy to me too, because I watch where they go. And again, you're missing a couple of key pieces. Lonzo's been great here. Alex Caruso's been terrific, and they're not there. And if they get those guys back, they're tough. They're going to be a tough out, no doubt about it. But, you know, when people say that, it's like, okay, we'll just keep doubting them. And when you look up and you're down 2-0 or 3-1 in a 7-game series, and you got to win 3 in a row, that's probably not going to happen. You know, I remember our first playoff series win in San Antonio when they were an 8 seed, and they won game one, and Manu Ginobili didn't play that year in that game and then played the rest of them. But after the game, we were walking around San Antonio feeling great because it was the first franchise playoff victory. The 3 years they had been before, they had gotten swept every round. So we're feeling great. I'm hanging around with former Grizzly Rudy Gay and a couple other players and a couple of our broadcasters, and we ran into some Spurs fans, and they were gracious, but they're like, yeah, we just wanted to let you have one. And my response was, cool, we'll take a second one if you want to give it to us, that one too, because I'm pretty sure we can get two on our own. And if you give us two and we get two on our own, you guys are gone. And lo and behold, the Grizzlies eliminated them. So that's the thing. Like, when people start going, oh, well, they can't do this or they can't do that, there's not a lot of things either one of these teams can't do. So people that are doubting their ability to advance in the playoffs, to me, are just not paying attention.
Well, I think it would be a lot more national media having an emphasis on Memphis if they knew right. What Central Barbecue was all about.
Oh, it's good stuff, man.
Yeah, that's it.
Good
and
stuff.
They would all be rooting for that writing, and they would be trying to write it into existence that they would spend, you know, especially if it was the middle part of a series in the NBA yeah. Finals where it's three games in Memphis. Oh, yeah. My God. So
let me tell you what, we're not one of the fattest cities in America for no reason.
No.
We got some good food down there.
You've earned that. And
yeah,
thank you.
We've worked hard for that title. Don't take it away from us.
Yeah, but it's Central Barbecue's up there. That's the slow cook Memphis stuff. I'm a fan. I'm going to go down there even if you're not part of the finals. That's how much
and
I.
You guys believe. Come down there. We'll show you some great golf courses too. When you get around there in May and June, it's not quite the oppressive heat that July and August are, but there's some great stuff there. There really is. I grew up in California. I never thought I'd be in Memphis 21 years. It's been an amazing run. Things that really have changed me in terms of how I understand things there. The Civil Rights Museum is there, and it's just an amazing tribute to a crazy time. And people kind of knock it. And look, there's some things about Memphis that are a little rough around the edges. But overall, you know, it's a place that loves basketball and barbecue, and I tell people all the time, just come take a visit, and I think you'll have a different opinion.
Sun Studios and the Rock and Soul Museum yeah. are must-see places.
100%.
Yeah.
Great plan, too. I mean, people, it's funny, native Memphians have never most of them have never been to Graceland, which I think is a shame, but it's pretty interesting to go see that as well. So, yeah, there's a lot to do.
Eric, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. And I expect a Memphis victory tonight because the Bulls don't beat good teams.
I'm not going to go that far, but I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to a highly competitive game. Appreciate you guys having me on. Anytime you want to talk again, just give me a call.
Looking forward to it. Thanks,
Eric.
Eric Hasseltine, radio voice of the Grizz. Now that we settled that, Central Barbecue is a place you get in Memphis, and he's right about Graceland, the Civil Rights Museum.
I have never been to Memphis.
Go there for Central Barbecue.
Central Barbecue.
Go there for the Civil Rights Museum. It'll make you cry to see what has been done to people, what we've done to people, what we've done to fellow Americans. And then go to Sun Studios Tour and the Rock and Soul Museum. It's just a wonderful, especially the way you love music and music history.
For sure.
Yeah. So do that.
Yep. I could be your Central Barbecue correspondent, much like I was your Pancake Pantry correspondent.
See, you're right. In Nashville.
Way back when.
Yeah. There you go. All right. We'll take a break and then, Caesar, what else do we want to get wrong from here on out? What do we want to do from here on out? Anything?
We could take a listen to the phone call from the overnight with Grody talking about
Oh, did we get that?
For that you suck, yeah.
We got the For That You Suck? Wow. I nominate you, Caesar. Steve Rosenblum. My guest is Zito. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
The scout said they showed a lot of promise.
They brought their toys with them.
Forty-five years ago yesterday, they put on the foil. Want some? No.
I thought you were getting excited about Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch here.
Slapshot hit the theaters 45 years ago yesterday.
And
45 years ago Monday was on a dark desert highway.
Yep.
Cool wind in my hair. The smell of palitas rising up in the air. People had to go ask, what are palitas?
Is that
a Southern California thing? No, it's hot.
As a young man... Or as a kid, really, when I first heard that, I'm like, what is this police dust?
What is that? Yeah. Well, those are called mondegreens. Did you know there's a word for misheard lyrics?
No.
Mondegreen is the word.
No, I did not know that.
Right. So there are some very famous mondegreens.
Well, and as a 618 texter points out, as we were talking about Wrigleyville and the Hotel Zachary, the Hotel Zachary, you can check out. But you can never leave.
There you go. That's it. So we had Mark Grody on less than an hour ago. This is his show. He was on this show, but he's not on the show now. And he had done, because he's been doing the Score overnights, he's doing his Les Grobstein. I want to say penance, but it's sort of... It's probably a fun adventure for him, even though takes a couple of days to get out of the fog, he was telling us.
Uh-huh.
And by the time he gets out of it, it's time to go back into it. Although he will be going to the combine this week. So he had mentioned, because we wanted to know what Mark heard, we had mentioned a caller, a specific caller. And we thought we had figured this out with one of the many Sean's we have around here producing shows. And Caesar had set up a folder that we could be sent links to these kind of calls.
Put it in there. Yep.
So we could do What Mark Heard, our near award-winning segment, even when Mark's not here, but when he's on the air, Score overnights.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark helped Caesar track this down. So you want to set this up? Do we need to walk this up, or are we just going to play it, Caesar?
So this is from this past week, Mark, bring back for That You Suck. And this is a caller nominating Danny Parkins, and he's going to tell you exactly why. I'll play it for you right here.
And then for the suck thing, it has to be Danny Parkins. I mean, Les was not even on the ground, and he was brown-nosed in Connecticut trying to sell the recorder, and then he did it three or four times since. I think that's very disrespectful. But you got a problem. You know, you should have asked people. He's a brown-noser and very disrespectful trying to sell the record, and he keeps doing it, and Mitch Rosen should say something. You know, just relax. It's not yours. If Les wanted to sell it, he could have sold it.
Yeah, but great, I agree. He needs to stop that, Parco, for the purposes of entertainment. You know what I'm saying? Don, thank you very much for the call, man. I hope that you continue to call frequently.
That was good.
Wow.
Les wasn't even in the ground. I mean, come on.
Let's go back to the start of that, because the anger, the righteous indignation, the anger, the way he was fighting for Les. Let's go back to the start of that.
And then for the sock thing, it has to be Danny Parkins. I mean, Les was not even in the ground, and he was brown nosed in Connecticut trying to sell the record, and then he did it three or four times since. I think that's very disrespectful. But you got a problem, you know, you should have asked people. He's a brown nose and very disrespectful trying to sell the record, and he keeps doing it, and Mitch Rosen should say something. You know, just relax. It's not yours. If Les wanted to sell it, he could have sold it.
Yeah, but great, I agree. He needs to stop.
Not even in the ground.
I think we have to add Don the Cabbie to the suck roll call, can't you? The suck thing at the beginning.
Yeah, we can do that, right? Can you do that? Very good, Espo.
Thank you, see?
Caesar, how come you didn't think of that? What's wrong with you? Well, you're as bad as Trash Panda, where you know what Trash Panda does is, as he billboards a show on Twitter, he usually has some kind of video, whether it's a Simpsons animation or it's a Saturday Night Live or some kind of video that involves, like, oh, God, this sucks. Oh, my God, this is going to. And I tweeted at him a couple of weeks ago, why aren't these part of the suck roll call? Oh, I never thought of that. What's wrong with you, Trash Panda?
I'm still getting used to just always having my radar up, you know.
For things that suck, yeah.
For things around, you know.
And for that, you suck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I'm a nominee this week from what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Got that.
Don't let the cabbie get a hold of that one. Otherwise, Caesar, you're in trouble.
So, do you do, are either of you Wordle guys?
I know what it is, and I just tried it for the first time last night with my son, who was doing it.
Literally, the first text I get every morning is from my wife with a completed Wordle. Every morning.
Does she shares that with you, a completed Wordle, but does she... See, I had done the choice. I had adapted this from my print column, like the choice, and remember, death is not an option.
Not an option, yep.
Hearing about somebody's fantasy team? Hearing about somebody's golf score? Seeing somebody's food on Twitter, or seeing Wordle. Somebody's Wordle score. So, and death is not an option.
I have to choose one that I want to partake in.
You do want, yeah, you do not. Yeah, you can't. You can't die, because all of those.
I guess I would take somebody's food on Twitter, because maybe that gives me an idea of something to either cook and or go get. But I have no interest in your Wordle score. I don't care about your fantasy team.
Uh-huh.
What was my other one?
Yeah, golf score.
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't care about your golf.
So. Does your wife share it on social media too, Caesar?
No, it's a text to me, and sometimes she'll include my mother-in-law, her mother, and she just loves, you know, pretty much every morning. It's the first text I get from her. It's a completed Wordle showing me how many turns it took, and then she just hounds me until I complete it and send her how many I took.
Yeah, and I can tell you that my wife, Stacy, what she told
my
me last
wife.
Night. My wife. What Stacy told me last night as she was doing a Wordle, and I'm leaning over her shoulder, and I suggested something, which she then typed in. It was actually my suggestion was nearly correct. It was one letter off, and then she got it in the next one. But then she kind of gave me a look. I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, well, I'm trying to do it myself. And, you know, I basically butt out over there, mister.
Mm.
Get your own Wordle. She did not like that.
What color is her hair? Do we need to check in on Stacy's hair?
No. So, and actually to our 206 texter who texted in, Espo, once on this very show, you mentioned that you and your wife were visiting your parents later that day. You talked about her new unusual hairdo and then said, so we're really excited about that. I find myself in a similar situation today, so I'm curious, how did all that work out? So here's the thing with Stacy and her hair. We've been married.
Multi-hued, Stacy.
The multi-hued, multi-length, multi-everything.
She's a study in,
yes.
in sort of...
We've been married for, what, 17, almost 18 years. So
she's a study in chromotherapy is what she is.
The number of hairstyles/colors that she has had, I mean, it's It's got to be in the hundreds. I mean, and maybe not hundreds, but it's certainly, we're well into double digits. So the parents don't even bat an eyelash. Once upon a time, I used to be like, what that? You know, like I'd come home from work and it would be like, well, I dyed my hair purple today. I was like, what? Okay. Oh, all right. I guess. So where it is now, you asked, is that it's blondish brown, so more close to her natural color, but with extensions on it.
So what color are the extensions?
Brownish black. I mean, it's all, yeah, it's all similar. But I know, and you'll appreciate this, she always says, don't talk about my hair on the radio.
I've heard that before. I've heard that before. Well, I asked about Wordle because I don't want to know people's... First, there are two things that spin off from this. Do you guys do Loodle? L-E-W-D-L-E?
I don't know what that is.
Do you think it is?
Yeah, I just found out that actually exists a couple days ago.
What do you think it is, Espo?
Is it L-E-W-D? Loodle?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I could guess there.
Yes, but it's five-letter words instead of four-letter words. And you have the same idea. You got six chances to get the letters, and it works the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And you really need a firm grasp of Urban Dictionary, I think, to be able to have success.
Well on that.
Yeah.
Well, how is it? So that's my question. I mean, and I've literally never done a Wordle by myself. I don't have the app, whatever. How is it scored?
Just go online. You don't need an app.
How is it scored? Well, as I said, I don't know anything about
it. You're given a blank. You've seen what it looks
like. I've seen it now, yes.
Okay. So then you'll type in your five letters for your first word.
Yep.
And they'll turn over and you'll see which ones are. The green ones are you got the right letter in the right place.
Right.
The yellow ones are you've got the right letter in the wrong place. And the gray ones are wrong and wrong.
Right.
This letter is not in this word.
How does it determine how many points you get, though?
I don't know about points. You just solve it in less than six tries.
Yeah, okay. I don't think there's a point total. It's just you're trying to beat your partner in the least amount of tries. Once you get to six, it fills it out for you. But the point is try to take the least amount of times to get there.
Fewest. So here's how you know fewest and least. You think of French fries and mashed potatoes. If you can count them individually... It's fewer. I want fewer French fries. If you can't count them individually, I want less mashed potatoes.
Less mashed potatoes.
Right. And he's our overnight host when Grody's at the combine.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well played, sir.
So there's a story the Tribune ran a couple of weeks ago, not about Loodle, although that would be great. But because the thing that annoys me is people post this stuff on the tweeter machine, right? Their Wordle scores. There was a story in the Tribune about two daughters who noticed that their grandmother, Denise Holt, had failed to text her daily Wordle score.
I saw this.
She sends these out. Here I am. Here's what I did. I got up in the morning. She didn't do it. Wow, that's odd. And it turns out it was odd, and she needed help, and she got help, and she's alive to tell about it. But you can go find the story. But they sent a neighbor to check on her house in Lincolnwood. Her car was there. She didn't answer, and they knew something was wrong. Police were called in, found a broken window with blood on the scene suggesting a break-in. They entered using a neighbor's key, saying, is anybody home? I'm here, Holt called. She was inside a basement bathroom where she had barricaded herself away from a naked intruder threatening her with scissors. The man was subsequently arrested. But who knows how long she would have been there had she not posted, sent, texted her Wordle score.
So that's
her life was saved by Wordle.
Right.
What a thing.
That's a thing.
What a thing. All right. So we talked about journalists. We have other stuff going on. We will be taking you right up to 2 o'clock. Is that right, Caesar? Do you know that? Is that?
Yes,
sir. Can we get that right?
Yes. Yeah. We're going till 2 o'clock.
Okay. All right. So we have time to fill.
One more segment left.
Yeah. You know, we're the mom show around here.
The mom show?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
We did. I'll explain a little bit of that. And then there was sort of something added. Not part of this show, but something kind of added to the letter, or sort of mom show, this show adjacent, because it involved a friend of the show. It involved a friend of a friend of the show.
Okay.
And so I'll share that. And also one of our favorites on this show, because we were talking about the tweeter machine.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Hamill, right?
Yes.
Hamill himself.
Hamill himself, yeah.
Is a legend.
Yes, he is.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
We've cited various things about somebody saying Mark Hamill could tweet a period and get 20,000 likes. So at that time, Mark Hamill tweeted a period and got, at the time, 77,000 likes. Anyways, here's kind of a story that we tell that you can imagine being told in an old newsroom. So we'll share that and the mom show stuff and whatever nonsense we have just to fill time till Saturday Suckage survives another week. And as long as nobody important listened, we'll have to do this
again. We're doing good.
He's Mike Esposito, Steve Rosenblum. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Great success.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Yeah, Bruce showed up on the list of Mondegreens, but it was for Blinded by the Light.
Oh, man.
Wrapped up like a deuce, another rumor in the night, instead of revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. The most famous Mondegreen probably is Elton John's Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza. It's a misheard from lyric.
From Miss 80s sitcom star. Not to be confused with The Tiny Dancer.
Right. It's called Mondegreen, and it's a misheard lyrics, and it's...
Rocket Man's got to be the most... not sung right song of all time.
Completely.
Doesn't it have to be?
I'm 49 years old. I have no idea what he says after Rocket Man.
And I don't know that this to be a true Mondegreen, but I could imagine, given the singer, it would be true. Often misheard was Like a Virgin, touched for the 31st time.
And this conversation was sparked, by the way, by our 815 texter. Thank you for your Mondegreen, Dirty Deeds Thunder Chief.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to Thunder Chief.
Yeah.
The Thunder Chief. It sounds like a team name. Thunder Chiefs.
I love Billy Joel. I used to. Then I saw the documentary on him. But anyways, we didn't start the fire. It was always burning, said the worst attorney. That's typical of what you'd think. Anyways, we consider ourselves the mom show. And what I mean, you know, it started with Jean Grody. She's the house mom.
The Jewels. Every time I see the Jewels, right. I think of Mark because of his mom.
Sending your dad to the Jewels. And Mark does great. I can't do that. And then we added Sweet Alice, who is Trash Panda's mom. Mm-hmm. And she would give us updates on Shooter, who is Trash Panda's dad, standing inside the house with a shotgun shooting at raccoons. So we call him Shooter, and Sweet Alice would tell us about that. And we started asking for a while about that, and we asked Tom Thayer. Because Tom Thayer would – remember the show we did?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You and I did a show when there used to be Sears.
Live in the Sears and Joliet.
Joliet Mall, right. And Rick came by, Rick Thayer.
His brother,
Because in Joliet is the Thayer Deli, right?
Yep.
Their
and we
restaurant.
Got delightful chicken soup.
Right. So I asked about that. I was telling Tom, I said – your brother is the real hero in the Thayer family. And I told him the story about the chicken soup, and he said that when their mom was in hospice, it was all her recipes it was using. That soup we had at that Sears, that was Mama Thayer's recipe.
Delicious.
And she sits him down, and she's in hospice, and everybody can see the end of it, and they're... And she starts telling him, this is according to Tom, somewhere we have this on tape, says, I want you to know, pick a chicken with big thighs because they have more flavor in them, more fat.
Okay.
Mom, I don't want to. Mom is not what I'm here for.
Right.
It was one of the best stories. It was great. Tom's telling the story. His mom, he's trying to sort of have, you know, last moments with his mom, and she's telling him about picking a chicken. For chicken soup. So anyways, all this mom stuff always interests me. We tried to get Mama Comet to come on. Mm-hmm. She's local, and we wanted to talk to her about her son's year.
I live in Arlington Heights. Maybe. I mean, I have no idea. I don't know where they live. I could find out very easily, though.
So this came this week from Ben Bradley, formerly of Channel 7, yep. Now Channel 9.
Channel 9, yep.
So he's part of Lawrence Holmes's of the Score, and Amanda Kashubi, my editorial queen over at the Tribune, part of the HF Homewood Flossmoor.
Yep.
So he tweeted this out. For what, apropos, I don't know, but it was just because I needed to share a mom story. And Ben Bradley tweeted this out when I was very new at ABC 7 Chicago. My mom spotted one of our anchors on the street, walked up to him and said, "Do you know my son Benji? He's going to be anchoring the 5 p.m. news one day." Quote, "Well, that's nice, but I currently anchor the 5 p.m. news," replied Ron Majors. I love fantastic. That. See, that's what the mom being the mom show is. It's all about that. It's all. I wonder if would Ronji. Now we never. I never talked to Ronji about Ronji's mom. Would Caesar? Do you think that Ronji's mom yells at Alexa the way he does? Do you think that's where he learned to yell at Alexa?
Well, I've heard a few things in the past about learned behavior.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So maybe
there was that was the story last week. Espo, Ronji's on, and the difference between Mark would talk nicely to this artificial intelligence when Alexa showed up, and Ronji. Shut up! I'm doing a radio show. Shut up, Alexa. And where did he learn that? How does his mom do?
I also saw, for those of you who like Twitter wormholes, Ronji and Lenny Dykstra got into it on Twitter earlier this week. That was something. It was actually very amusing.
So there's an AP. This comes from the self-employed scribe named Dan Sewell, who wants a lit in Chicago. And this tweet involves the greatest Twitter follows going. So, former LA bureau chief John Brewer recalls a struggling actor moonlighting as a night news assistant, filing, changing ribbons. Kids, ask your parents about that. Loading paper. This was in the 70s, back when they had typewriters and stuff. He informed Brewer, this struggling actor, in 75, he had been cast in a, quote, sci-fi movie. And that's how Mark Hamill's AP career ended.
There,
Luke Skywalker was changing ribbons and filing in an AP office, and he got cast. And that's it.
That's that.
I love him. All right. So there's more Eagles music.
There it is.
Yeah. You know, some dance to remember. So some dance to forget.
There it is.
Yeah. So this is Saturday Suckage. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. So, Cesar Perez, thank you,
Cesar.
Got to suck in front of the Memphis Grizzlies broadcaster. We want to thank Cody Westerlund for sacrificing his credibility coming on the show. Paul Sullivan, Mark Grody. This is his show, but he's not on this show. Eric Hasselstein, thank you very much. Thanks for everyone who listened. If nobody important listened, we'll be back next Saturday on Saturday Suckage.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Post.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.